Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my good colleague, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting professor, Dickinson College, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, CEO. We go immediately to NATO, meeting over these last days, both online and in person. NATO is looking at a problem, not immediately Ukraine, although that's a piece of it, but over the next few years, how to prepare for what the General Secretary, Mr. Rudy, says, is a Russian attack on a NATO nation that would be unambiguously a violation of the treaty and oblige everyone to participate in a counter-answer. However, Jeff, a very good evening to you. Logistics, you teach. Logistics, that wins wars. Right now, NATO's logistics are hard to summarize other than the fact that it doesn't work. They have different tanks, and they're now involved in arguing over a new fighter jet, not an F-35, our version. The headline, French and German leaders aim to diffuse tensions over fighter jet. Disputes over governance and workload plague weapons program that is crucial to European defense ambitions. That is not about the Russians. That's about the French and the Germans and NATO entirely. You were a veteran of NATO, and you saw this as well. Is it something that can be settled, or is it just going to be part of the problem of involving so many different European military powers? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It can be solved, but it's a very complex problem that so far NATO has never been able to solve. And that is a question of interoperability and how we can, in fact, do joint planning in terms of our industrial strategy. So we'd risk, you know, duplicative, inefficient procurement. We have 32 countries in NATO. We don't need 32 different fighter planes. We don't need 32 different tanks. We don't need 32 different artillery pieces. But each one of those democracies also has got to be respective of their own industries who want to get that piece of the action. So how do you come together and agree on this country is going to focus on aircraft, this country is going to focus on tanks, which country or countries do shipping? How do we do that together to maximize our investment and come up with the most efficient way and the most rapid way to create new weapon systems? Over the years, in terms of fighters, of course, the French have oftentimes built their own, as have the British. The other European countries largely have purchased from the United States, which also then translates into a problem abroad, and that is competition for weapon sales abroad, because the British, the French are one of the major competitors for the sale, particularly of fighter aircraft abroad, as they want to sell more of those aircraft to bring down individual costs, as does the United States. But whether or not they can come together and make an agreement on this remains to be seen. The only example that I know where they were successful was back during the Cold War, the creation of an aircraft called the Eurofighter. But as one NATO official at the time said to me, the problem with the Eurofighter is it can do everything. We all agreed on all of the different roles the fighter aircraft can do. So everybody had input on the roles. It just can't do any one of those very well. And so that was the problem then of how you become both efficient in terms of your industrial strategy, but also effective in terms of the employment of the weapon system on the battlefield.
And the NATO challenge is obvious to the United States as well. However, our participation in the challenge, we have the F-35.
Right.
And we have armor and artillery and missile systems that are now being on display in Ukraine. Is that an answer? Everybody buying from America? You tell me Britain, for example, is buying from America. What about the rest of NATO?
Well, they all can. The European problem is really, John, down to the following. We can buy American and therefore perhaps more rapidly increase our force capabilities. But then we're dependent on the Americans. Okay. or we can develop our own industries, and then we're less reliant on the United States. And so even though the NATO summit came out well, I got to tell you, John, in the aftermath of a lot of things Mr. Trump has said, a lot of things Mr. Trump has done, there is still suspicion widespread across the alliance that long term we can't depend on the United States. So you get into concerns like this. Okay, we buy the F-35, but we witnessed this with some of the systems that we refuse to give the Ukrainians. You buy the F-35, but 3 or 4 years from now, there's a new software upgrade for the F-35, and suddenly the United States decides, well, we're not going to share that with you. Even though you bought the initial airframe, we're not going to share that with you. Furthermore, the whole tariff issue is a problem because the manufacturers of defense aircraft, Lockheed Martin, for example, many of Boeing, a lot of them also produce commercial aircraft. And they're very concerned right now that in terms of the tariff wars, will that translate into their sale of either military aircraft or their sale of commercial aircraft being almost too expensive for the Europeans to, in fact, purchase? And then last but not least, you got some of the unique characteristics of aircraft. The F-35, for example, which the British just got done ordering a dozen or so, the F-35 Alpha, is the aircraft that can be used for the nuclear mission. And don't forget, we have six now NATO countries, UK being potentially one of them, that have aircraft, F-35 Alpha, that are designed so they can deliver the B-61 nuclear bomb designed by the United States. And across Europe, in Turkey, Belgium, Germany, Italy, and the Holland, we maintain bases where there are U.S. military personnel who maintain nuclear weapons, the B-61. And in time of war and crisis, when ordered, we pass those weapons to the host country's aircraft for delivery on the F-35. Well, again, a European-produced aircraft could not do that mission. So that joint NATO mission might go away if, in fact, you go to a European aircraft. But conceptually, you want that joint mission because it more closely ties the United States to a NATO deterrent strategy.
Is there an enforcement mechanism in NATO that if they decide on one platform, they're going to stick with it? Or is it every man for himself?
Depends on, again, the changing character of governments. And because many of these particular defense acquisitions were going to happen over a number of years. So if you can look into your crystal ball, John, and tell me what government's going to be in Germany in 5 years or in France in 5 years or in the UK in 5 years, then I can answer your question whether or not there's going to be continuity in terms of their industrial strategy. But we all know that's not true. And we all know that, frankly, the three major players, Brits, Germans, and the French, all three of those leaders right now sit atop pretty fragile governments. In two cases, France and Germany being coalitions. And we see the Labour Party after 1 year of Mr. Starmer, really, by some counts, in third place in terms of popularity in Great Britain.
When you were at NATO, you had the same adversary we have today and the same mix of countries with different weapon systems. You didn't solve it, and yet it did carry the day. Is it we're going to get lucky again? It's not NATO wins, it's Russia loses.
Could well be, because there is I think growing evidence of the increased pressure on the Russian economy as this war goes on. Putin has even talked about lowering defense spending in 2026. And were NATO countries to meet their goals, actually, in some cases, they might exceed Russian defense spending. For example, if the Germans should go to 5% of GDP on defense based on their GDP, they would be spending roughly $200 billion a year on defense. Well, that's more money than the Russians are spending on defense now. Now, that's an imperfect comparison because obviously personnel costs in the Russian army are pretty doggone low. But where they start from is also difficult. Let me give you an example, John. I was talking to a colleague of mine in London. The British Army right now, the Royal Artillery Corps, has 17 guns total, 17 howitzers. That's it. They have the Royal Tank Corps. All the tanks in the British Army, 74. That's it. Okay. Whereas back during the Cold War, we had a lot larger U.S. presence in terms of our forces there. Plus, we had all this pre-positioned stockpile of weapons that U.S. forces could come over, pick up, and move off to the battlefield. So what we had in terms of our stockages beyond what was present in units, plus stockages of ammunition, were far in excess of anything we got right now.
I'm speaking to Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, Dickinson College visiting professor, and Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, CEO. We're headed to the battlefield. There are developments there, and it's not positive. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.